George Ellis is a physicist who has addressed questions at the border of science and religion. Where does our sense of ethics come from? How did the universe come into being? For his contributions to the dialogue between science and theology, Ellis, who is South African but taught for many years in England, has won this year's Templeton Prize. It carries an award of $1.4 million. Professor Ellis came to our New York bureau, and I asked him about his writings on things that he says hard science doesn't explain, ethics and aesthetics, for example. Is it because hard science hasn't advanced far enough, or because some things just operate beyond and outside the laws of science?
I would say it's because hard science focuses on certain specific questions by its very structure, and these are outside those questions. And the kind of example I like to use is if you bring in a meter into your room and you point it at the picture and you say, well, this Picasso is 2.5 times more beautiful than that of Rembrandt, then people will just laugh at you because it's outside the scope of science to deal with issues such as aesthetics.
Sir John Templeton, who endowed this prize and who came at it from the religion side and has gravitated toward scientists in the prize, I understand what benefit people in religion receive from scientists taking these questions up rather rigorously.
Yeah.
What benefit have you received as a scientist from the religious discourse about either the nature of the universe or the origin of ethics?
From looking at these religious issues, it's got me really, really interested in the issue of complexity and reductionism. In other words, how do we, human beings, come to exist on the basis of fundamental physics? You've got your electrons, protons, and so on interacting via the Schrödinger equation, Maxwell's equation. How on earth does that allow us to come into existence? And this is a kind of question which I've got more and more interested in because of the reductionism which many people are supporting, in which, in effect, they say the higher levels of the structure, which includes the way our mind operates, have no real causal efficacy of their own. They are epiphenomena. And
we could reduce them at some date, we could reduce them to the physiochemical reactions.
That is correct. So, yeah. And in a sense, I have got into this question because of the religious issue, but then it stands on its own right as in a very, very interesting scientific question. And I think that this reductionist view is completely wrong, and I've been writing a bit about that, the different reasons why it is in fact wrong.
And the word soul enters this discussion at some point. Mind.
Well, mind and brain, certainly. Soul I'm very cautious about using. But what I'm concerned with is, the one I'm really concerned about is free will, the ability that we have to make choices which have real meaning, so that we are responsible for our own actions in some moral sense. And that to me is the single really core issue in the current science and religion dialogue. If science could prove that we did not have free will in a serious way, then the whole of the meaning of human life would be under threat. Now, so my view about this is that, yes, we do have free will, and any scientific analysis which denies it is clearly an incomplete and inadequate analysis.
Well, Professor Ellis, congratulations once again, and thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you very much for the interview.
Physicist George Ellis spoke to us from our bureau in New York. He is the 2004 laureate of the Templeton Prize for Progress Toward Research or Discoveries about Spiritual Realities.